Welcome to Be Truly Heard with me, coach and voice expert Anne Leatherland. If you're a woman in business looking to speak with authority, warmth and authenticity, this is the podcast for you. We'll explore valuable personal growth strategies alongside vocal skills, so you can overcome confidence barriers and communicate what's inside. Your voice matters. It's time to be truly heard. Hello and welcome to this episode of Be Truly Heard. I'm Anne Leatherland, your host. I'm really excited for this one because I have with me a special guest, broadcaster, podcaster and trainer, Ed Nell. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Anne. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. I'm sure our listeners, if they don't know you through BBC Radio Shropshire or further afield, would like to know a bit about you. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, yes, as you say, I've been working for the BBC for a good few years now, but I suppose radio generally has kind of always been a passion of mine. Just what always captivated me when I was a kid listening in the car was that ability, just through someone's voice, to be able to completely change your mood, either make you happy, sad, just take you on those incredible journeys. And it just mesmerized me and I just loved it. And I never imagined that I could actually end up working in radio, but it was never really an ambition of mine. But fortunately, it happened. And that's what I've been doing for the last sort of 20 odd years, basically moving around the country, working at different radio stations. I started in Norfolk, then I went to Guernsey, then Worcester, Wolverhampton, Birmingham, Sheffield, back to the Midlands again as well. Mainly commercial radio shows, things like breakfast shows, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then on air at 6 a.m, sounding bright and happy, even when you're feeling absolutely exhausted. And then working for the BBC, freelancing for the last few years, and then building my company on the side where I train people to tell better stories for their business, but also how to get media coverage and then podcasts as well.
Wow, that's a lot. But yes. all based around that idea of voice. So you're quite broad really in that, aren't you? Like I am. I have various different spokes going out or man all round voice in a slightly different way. And we have spoken before. So it's great to have you back on here and have another chat. But one of your great strengths, I think, Ed, is helping people to tell stories. Why is that so important to you?
I just think stories are the way that we create relationships with people, that they're the thing that bind us together. And without realizing it, we are all storytellers. So many people go, oh, I'm not a good storyteller. I don't do this and I can't do that. We all tell stories all the time. Whenever you meet anybody, probably the first thing you'll do is tell some sort of story. I went to a networking event this morning and immediately people are telling stories about how they got here today or problems they faced on their journey. And without realizing, we're all connecting. And it's that sort of shared experience of going, oh, isn't the weather bad at the moment? And then you get in, oh, isn't it supposed to snow this week? And then you start talking about, oh, well, I remember last time it was really bad because this happened to me. And it's just that thread that binds us all together. This is why I love stories so much.
Yeah, they're the thing that make the connection between people, aren't they? Whether it's it can be a small story, a big story. We love to tell people about our travels. We love to tell people about our ailments. We love to tell people about funny things that have happened. And there's something that happens to the energy, I think, between people then when that occurs. It's almost like we can relate better. And for you, that must be really important when you're doing broadcasting. You want to be able to create that feeling almost of intimacy between you and the audience, as if they feel that you're the only one they're speaking to.
Completely. And that's what I love so much about radio. I think with TV, when we watch it, we're very aware that we're one of potentially millions of people watching it and consuming it. Whereas radio, you can very much have that one-to-one medium. I think a lot of people listen to radio and podcasts as well when they're on their own. So it's just them. It's not an audience. They're not part of a big group of people. So you can speak to them on a one-to-one person as though you're in the room, which I think is what makes stories so much more important. And sharing those experiences about your life, even though it's not a two-way conversation, they can sort of interact to a certain degree, but it's not as instant as being in the same room. They can be nodding along and thinking, yeah, no, I get this person. I like this person. I want to spend my time with this person, which I think is why stories are so important.
Absolutely. And especially when you're speaking to a group and you want to get people on side, the story can be a way of helping them to resonate with you and understand where you're coming from, helping you to be heard, if you like. And we all love stories, don't we? It links back to those old times of sitting around the fire. There was no TV, there was no radio. I'm not that old, by the way. I'm just saying that. and, you know, that was how people passed the time. They might do have some music and they'd have a story. And the stories would be very, very complex, really, and cleverly woven if you go back into the times of folklore. And it's lovely to see that kind of storyteller come back now, actually. There are some people who specialise in it, telling fiction stories. You'll usually find them in libraries and not just for children, but for adults as well. And so where do we get our stories? Radio, film, TV, stage? And in terms of speaking, audiobooks. I absolutely love audiobooks because I can just disappear into that world. So we've made the case here for stories. If you're a person looking for better speaking skills, I think this is absolutely paramount that you craft a story around what you're saying.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we start to put that together, Ed? What would you say?
Well, I think we've all got stories. We've all got stories we can share. It's really about how you frame them, I think, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people forget that every good story needs a beginning, middle, and end. It's a really simple concept. But so many people forget that and they start perhaps with the wrong part of the story, or it gets mixed up in the middle and they don't know where they're heading at the end. And then they don't really have a point and it starts to tail off and you kind of go, oh, that could have been a great story if you'd perhaps thought about it a little bit more. And I think actually, I mean, going back to networking events, I mentioned it earlier, I went to one this morning. Actually, they're a great forum to share a story. You do the 60-second round, you stand up. Most people just talk about their business and just say, this is what I do. But actually, if you shared a story in those 60 seconds, wouldn't it be? And what I love about that as well, the 60 seconds is a really good test of a story. Can you tell a really powerful story in 60 seconds? So we've all got stories, but putting it together and telling it in 60 seconds, it can be hard, but it's a great test of a really strong story that's going to connect you with those people in the room and at the end of the day, make you memorable as well.
Absolutely. I think one really great way is to say something like, well, I remember a time, in my case, when I wasn't very confident about speaking in public. And that's the beginning of a story. And then you craft that story, you tell people how you came to be doing what you're doing now, and then say, and that's why I do what I do. It's much more impactful, I think, than saying, oh, hi, I'm Anne and I train voices and I'm a coach.
Absolutely. I think that's a really strong way to start a story. I think a question is another great way as well. Standing up and asking a question and almost asking for help from the room because it grabs attention. And I think that's what you need to do when you start a story. Grabbing attention is the absolute first thing. It's almost like clickbait on the internet, isn't it, really? Those clickbait headlines that we see. You kind of want to do that with your story. And then once they're invested, take them on that journey.
Sure. So questions like, have you ever wondered why in marketing we do XYZ? Or how would it be if you stood up on a stage to speak and your voice suddenly didn't work? Or something that will draw the audience in. I think even in a meeting, in a corporate meeting, you could have some kind of a story going. You know, what would it be like if we could solve this issue? Start with the question rather than going, I've got a presentation for you today. Here's my slide one. Here's my slide two. Here's my slide three. And so on.
Completely. I think that's a really powerful way to start a story. And I think what you were saying as well, starting with almost that pain point of your customer, it might be, and then they connect with that. They go, that's me. That's how I'm feeling right now. Like you said, what would it be like if you stood up on a stage and you had no voice? And a lot of people are terrified of that happening. I mean, most people are scared of public speaking already. And that's probably their biggest fear, along with the whole having a dream and realizing you're naked in front of an audience, which I think is another fear that a lot of people have. Hopefully that's not actually going to happen.
No.
But starting with that pain point, connects you instantly with people in that room who are probably your target market without realizing it. And they'll go, that worries me. Yeah. And then explaining how you can solve that problem. And then perhaps a call to action at the end of, well, if you want to find out more, speak to me. And that is a really powerful story that you've told there that's going to bring those people in the room who go, yeah, I mean, you might be in a room of 25 people and five of them might go, that feels like me. I need to speak to this person.
Perfect. Or if you're addressing people that you already know, peers in your company or senior management or a group of stakeholders or something like that, you make it very clear what you're about and why you're a person worth listening to. And it draws them into that much more succinctly than if you just give them a stream of facts.
Yeah.
And I think that's the really valuable thing of a story, even if it's a customer story. You know, I met somebody last week and I worked with them and they told me X, Y, Z, and we found out this and we found out that. And, you know, this is what we did and this is where we went. That's a story. And it's a way that you can illustrate what it is that you do or your company does. And people will really hinge onto that, latch onto that, I should say. Great. So what mistakes do you think do people make when they're trying to put together their stories, Ed?
I think a lot of people think they can wing a story, and we all tell stories off the cuff. But I think just at least working it out in your head has got to be the way to go. And having a structure to that story, as I mentioned with the whole beginning, middle and end thing, it can be really easy to get derailed by certain things while you're telling that story. So it could be that you start with, well, it happened last Tuesday, or was it Wednesday? Or I don't know, actually, no, I think it was Tuesday. That's not really important. Let's be honest. What day it happened doesn't really matter. What's the story about? How are you framing this story? And then getting bogged down in the detail. You want a certain amount of detail. I mean, I always talk about the structure of a story rather than beginning, middle and end. I always think trigger lead in, dazzling detail, power out. Those are really important parts for me.
Ooh,
so your trigger leading is going to grab attention. That's the really important part. That's going to be your clickbait. Your dazzling detail is when you take people on the journey with you. So you're going to make sure that they're invested in your story. Now, I was thinking about theatre of the mind then. So you basically want people to smell, see, hear, experience everything you did in that story. But you must share a certain amount of detail to make that happen. So I think a lot of people go quite functional with stories, whereas you want to drill down a little bit deeper and bring some emotion into that as well. So you might say, well, I walked to the shops. Yeah, but how did it feel when you were walking to the shop? What happened on the way? What did it smell like? What was the weather like? Just bringing a bit more color to that story will be really helpful. But at the same time, you can go overly deep and then suddenly you're completely derailed by going, well, was it autumn? I think it was snowing that day. And you're like, hang on a minute. We've gone off on a tangent now, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah. You can easily end up down a rabbit hole, can't you? Going completely off in a different direction.
I think the next bit, then you've got to have that final part of your story, your power out. Once you know where your story's going, you've got your target that you're aiming for. So when you're doing your trigger leading, your dazzling detail, you're always aiming for your power out, and you know where that story is going to end. Whether it's a punchline, whether it's a call to action, you've got a clear endpoint, which so many stories, and I'm sure you've heard a few as well, they don't go anywhere. They just tail off in the end, don't they?
They do. And it just leads to a lot of unclarity, really, in what's being said. I think of it as a bit like a trip. You have to have a map. You have to have a place to start, a place to finish, and then you'll have calling off points along the way. And it's which are the important calling off points and which are the ones where you just ignore the brown sign and you carry on.
Yeah, completely.
And if it's a long situation, like if it's a workshop or a training, where do you get off the motorway and go to the services for a break to allow people to actually reset and regroup? So within that, there might be several stories in the course of a day. And I could go off down a rabbit hole here now. I can see what I've just done to myself. So we'll stay in line with that idea of the motorway. And I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I've been listening to a series of three books recently. And the plot just develops across the three books in ways that I wouldn't expect. But that author must have planned that out from the very beginning, or most of it, so that they knew where each character was going to go a character that's not important in the first book suddenly develops in the second and then is the main character in the third book. Maybe that evolves with that kind of long project, but it's interesting how carefully it's been planned and how references back to what's gone on before make sense. So that's another thing with your story, isn't it, I suppose? You can tell your story, but then if you refer back and it doesn't fit with what you've already said, then again, it just makes for confusion.
I mean, that's the thing. There is inspiration to take from everywhere. I think books are a great example of that, and how perhaps they work backwards almost and finalize the end of the book, and then they create the characters to help them get to that end point. I think if you look at stand-up comedians, they're also a great inspiration, and don't feel you have to be funny in your story. They are naturally funny people. However, they use a lot of storytelling techniques in routines. For each individual joke, quite often it's a story, but also the whole routine may have a theme, and it may start in one place and there'll be callbacks during each part perhaps of the joke, and then at the end they may have a point. It's almost like a sort of lesson plan or lecture, but it just happens to be funny, but they take you on a journey. So there's all those sort of storytelling skills that they use.
Absolutely. I think that's really important, actually. Starting at the end, you say, what are my objectives with this story? What do I want people to get from it at the end? And then where do I start and how do I get there in that series of steps? Oh, I could talk about this all day, Ed. It's fascinating.
<Me too. laughs>
But just before we go, if you could give me a couple of top tips for our listeners if they're wanting to get better at crafting their stories.
I would say stick to the structure that we talked about of beginning, middle and end, or as I describe it, trigger leading, dazzling detail, power out, which is an old radio technique that I learned from an American radio programmer.
Yay.
We've all got stories to tell, but working out how to tell them can quite often be the important part. So using that structure and then thinking, okay, how am I going to grab attention of my audience straight away? How am I going to take them on a journey? And what do I want to leave them with? That will then help you create a really powerful story, I think.
Ed Nell, thank you so much. Where can people find you, Ed, if they want to find out more about you and your work and get in touch?
Have a look at my website. It's themediainsiders.co.uk. We can have a chat there and hopefully connect, which would be great.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Ed. Bye.
Nice to speak to you, Anne. Thank you.
Well, thanks to Ed Nell there, who's given us a lot of great ideas about putting together stories and has inspired me, actually, because next week I'm going to be thinking about how do we actually tell those stories physically once we've put them together. So join me then and don't miss out. In the meantime, why not join the Facebook group, Be Truly Heard, and comment, ask questions, get involved in the discussion. We'd love to see you there. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of Be Truly Heard. Please look out for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Anne Leatherland, or learn more at annleatherland.co.uk. If you have questions and comments about speaking with confidence, I'd love to hear from you and will respond in future episodes. Be Truly Heard is brought to you by Vocal Intuition and produced by The Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Anne Leatherland. Bye for now.